Welcome to Antioch. We are a multi-generational, justice-minded church in beautiful Bend, Oregon, seeking and celebrating the reconciliation of all things. May the Word of God turn your heart toward Christ and the world He loves.
As we move from gathering to listening, our scripture reading today is from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the leaders, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, Antioch. My name is Linda, and I'm one of the pastors here. I hope you had a Merry Christmas and that 2025 is off to a great start. Although it may seem like Christmas has come and gone, you might notice that we're still decking our halls and our stage. And that's because at Antioch, we follow the liturgical church calendar. And today is the second Sunday of Christmas. In fact, today is the 12th day of Christmas. So, if you're hearing the faint sound of 12 drummers drumming, you're not losing it. But after the holiday, I think most of us would rather hear the sound of 12 nappers napping or 12 cleaners cleaning. So I asked those drummers to keep marching on, and they should arrive at Pastor Pete's house later on this afternoon. During the Advent season, we looked at the narrative found in Luke 1, exploring the stories leading up to the birth of Jesus. Then on Christmas Eve, we gathered at the River House to celebrate the birth of Jesus, as recounted in Luke 2. And today, we're still in Luke 2, yet 12 whole years have passed since that night when Jesus was born. Fun fact, today's passage is the only story in the Bible that gives us a glimpse into Jesus' childhood. But it's not about Jesus doing miracles on the playground, healing his sick relatives, or using his special powers to play tricks on his younger siblings. Instead, Luke deliberately highlights a moment when his parents lose him. As the story starts, we find Mary and Joseph raising their little family in the small town of Nazareth, and the holiday season is upon them. Passover was about to begin. The family was getting everything in order so that they could leave their home, their little home in Nazareth, and head to Jerusalem for a week-long celebration. I love how easy this is for us to imagine. A bunch of us literally just did this. A big caravan of family and friends was getting ready to make the 5-day walk to Jerusalem to remember and celebrate God's faithfulness to Moses and the Israelites. The story would be retold, and they would feast, and they would celebrate. It was the highlight of the year, and it was almost time for the fun to begin. And this is where we pick up our story. Verse 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he, Jesus, was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. So Passover was their major holiday. It was only required for males over 13 years old to travel to the big city, but that's not what's happening here. Who do we see going to Jerusalem? Who do we see going to Jerusalem? Jesus' parents, Joseph, Mary, together as a family. And I think this is totally awesome because the good news and the celebration of God is not just for males over 13 years old. And Mary is pushing in. Here we see that she is making every effort to worship and be reminded of who God is. Meaning, she and the family joined Joseph and the caravan of men walking from Nazareth to Jerusalem. Did anybody go to a big city over the holiday? You guys are asleep. Did anybody go to the big to a big city over the holidays? So did Jesus. They weren't in Kansas anymore. The city was full to the brim with people from all over. Extended families stayed together. Incredible meals were prepared. Kids stayed up late. Family stories were retold. Everything was crowded, busy, and loud. Sound familiar? And much like us today, the celebration was coming to an end. It was just about time to go back home and get back into the routine of work and school. Their bags were packed, goodbyes were said, and the caravan was off, walking home to Nazareth. They'd been walking for an entire day when it was time to set up camp for the night. Verse 43. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends, and when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. Remember the scene in Home Alone 2 when the entire family, aunts, uncles, cousins, they all fly to Florida? They're at the airport in the baggage claim, passing luggage down the line with the instruction, pass this to Kevin, pass this to Kevin, hand this to Kevin. And when the bag reaches the youngest child, he says, here you go, Kevin. But Kevin's not there. Then the bag is passed all the way back up the line with each person saying, Kevin's not here. Kevin's not here. Until it reaches his mom. Absentmindedly, she says, Kevin's not here. Then stops, freezes, and screams, Kevin! That's how I imagine this moment. One bag is left in the pile. Mary knows it belongs to Jesus. She looks left, and then she looks right, and she panics, Jesus! She goes from group to group asking if Jesus is with them, but no one has seen him. She doubles back and quickly realizes the horror. She's lost God's son. As a mom, I kind of know how this feels. Once I lost my son Judah when he was 2.5 years old. We were in Southern California heading into Trader Joe's. One moment he was right there, and the next, he wasn't. It felt like a nightmare. They locked up all the cash registers and every employee joined the search. We also lost Josiah when he was 5. We were at the beach in San Diego. He was playing in the waves until he wasn't. We combed the shore and searched the surf. The police got involved, and everyone was looking for our blonde boy in blue board shorts. And it was a nightmare, which makes me wonder what this moment was like for Mary. Her firstborn son could be anywhere. Was he hurt? Had someone kidnapped him? Did he wander off? What had been a great week was quickly turning into her worst nightmare. There's a lot of story that isn't told in these verses. Did Mary and Joseph blame each other for not watching him more closely? Did they split up to cover more ground? Did they ask other travelers, have you seen our son? He's 12, probably all alone. Did they manage to sleep, or were they plagued by anxiety and nightmares? Did they lose their appetite? Did they pray, or were they too embarrassed to talk to God about losing Jesus? And they didn't find him. One day goes by, no sign of Jesus. 2 days pass, still no sign of him. They've made it all the way back to the big city and are looking everywhere. But still, no Jesus. Verse 46. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. Can you imagine the wave of relief they must have felt? Jesus was safe and sound. I suspect that Mary started to run towards him, but mid-run, the situation starts to register. She thought she lost Jesus, but he wasn't lost. Jesus was sitting with the most renowned and honored religious leaders in the land. These rabbis had come from all over the land to celebrate Passover and had gathered in the temple courts to consider the scriptures. And there was their 12-year-old son in the thick of it with the most educated rabbis. And there was no doubt, a child prodigy was right before their very eyes. Everyone was amazed by him. Everyone but Mary, that is, as we see in verse 48. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Everyone was amazed, but Mary and Joseph were astonished. They were not expecting to find their 12-year-old son doing something so unexpected and mature. When they entered the temple, they saw Jesus sitting among the teachers, listening to them, asking questions, and engaged in deep conversation. They had never seen this side of their son before. All that worrying and anxiety from the past 3 days, they never expected this. And if you're 12, maybe you get it. What's the big deal? He was safe. He was happy. He was exactly where he wanted to be, doing exactly what he wanted to do. And here we find the earliest words of Jesus recorded in Scripture, the first red letters in the book of Luke, spoken by 12-year-old Jesus. Instead of answering his mother's questions, in true rabbi form, Jesus answers with questions of his own. He says, "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" I'm curious how you hear these words. Do you hear them with some spice, like, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? Duh." Or do you hear them with compassion and concern for his parents, like, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" I think it is the second. He's 12. The days have all blurred together. Did anyone experience that this past week? I literally had no clue what day it was on Tuesday, which makes me wonder if Jesus got caught up doing his favorite thing and didn't know what day it was and didn't even know he had missed the caravan. Theologians vary on their opinions. But Jesus' response must have been perplexing. Imagine the tension in that moment. Joseph, the man who raised him, was standing right there. He heard Jesus say, "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But he would not have understood that as their home. No, but he would have understood that as their home in Nazareth, which was definitely not where they were. In this moment, Jesus begins to reveal a deeper truth about himself. His ultimate loyalty is to God, not to Joseph. And in this patriarchal culture, this was unheard of. And in calling God his father, Jesus also flips the religious world upside down. See, at that time, people didn't refer to God as their father. God wasn't personal like that yet. They did talk about God as the father of Israel, as the creator and protector of a nation, but they didn't think of God as their heavenly father. In this moment, Jesus is reframing the concept of God in a way that shifts everything. While Yahweh had been known as the God of Israel, the creator of the world and the protector of humanity, Jesus is now revealing God as his Father. It's a monumental shift in how we understand God's identity, from the God of a nation to the Father of Jesus. It's a shift from a primarily corporate understanding of God to a profoundly personal one. From that moment, God is no longer simply seen as a distant holy deity or a protector of one specific people group. God is now Abba, a term of deep intimacy, of affection, of relationship. It's not that God's covenant with Israel is nullified, but rather that Jesus is expanding the understanding of who God is. And ever since that moment, Christians have worshiped God, recognizing that the God we worship is the Father of Jesus. This is significant. We don't just worship a creator or a judge or a distant sovereign. We worship the God revealed by Jesus Christ, and this text invites us to know him as God the Father. So when Jesus said that he had to be in his Father's house, it would have shocked the religious leaders. In fact, later on in the story, the same religious leaders would try to kill him for making the same claim, but Jesus vanishes. Seriously, it's awesome, and it can be found at the end of John 8. You should check it out this week. But here, Jesus is introducing the intimate love of God for humanity. It's one of those both ands. God is both the God of the big picture and the God of the intimate details for the entire world, which includes us. That's how good and big and unfathomable our God is. But it doesn't seem like anybody really gets it. Verse 50 says, they did not understand what he was saying to them. And that is where our story ends. They lost Jesus, they found Jesus, and they were surprised by what they found. We may not be his parents, but we've all experienced that unsettling feeling when we feel like we've lost Jesus. Maybe you needed guidance or comfort or help with a problem, but it seemed like Jesus wasn't there. When I was 21 and about to graduate from Moody Bible Institute, reality hit me hard. Most churches don't hire female pastors. I'd known this, but it really sunk in when I started job hunting and found nothing. It felt like a dead end, and Jesus seemed silent. The anxiety was nearly crippling, and I couldn't help but wonder, where are you, Jesus? Maybe if you're honest with yourself, it feels like Jesus is missing from your life right now. Maybe you're here hoping to find him. Maybe you're pretending that everything's A-okay, but you know your faith is feeling a bit stale and maybe even fake. And maybe it's because of school or sports or work. The demands have been piling up, and before you know it, you've neglected your time with God, and you've actually barely been thinking about God anymore. Days have turned into weeks. Now you have no clue where to find him. Perhaps a goal has demanded your time, and your faith has been pushed to the side. Or maybe you've let relationships or hobbies become a priority, leaving spiritual practices on the back burner. Perhaps you're wrestling with doubts, and you feel like your questions about life are unanswered. Where's Jesus? Maybe you're feeling all alone, or overwhelmed with health concerns, or are consumed with worry about the future. And no matter how hard you look, you can't seem to hear or find Jesus. Or perhaps you look around at the state of the American Christian church and question, how have we become associated with things that don't seem much like Jesus at all? Where is Jesus? Have we lost him? But our text today gives us permission to strip away that shame that might cripple us and find a way forward in search of Jesus. Mary knew Jesus. She gave birth to him, she nursed him, she raised him, and she knew him better than anyone. And when they lost him, it took a while to find him. And when they sought him, they were surprised by what they found. She learned something new about Jesus. He was a child prodigy in his father's house. That's not what they expected. And this is not just their story. It's our story as well. Like Mary, many of us know Jesus through scripture, through the guidance of his love, through the joy of following him. We've sensed his presence. We've trusted him in baptism. And we gather here each Sunday because we want to follow him. But one day, in the midst of the chaos of life, we look around and we feel like he's gone. Maybe our prayers feel empty or our faith feels distant. Where is Jesus? And it causes us to panic. Has Jesus left me? And that's when the insecurities might creep in. Why has Jesus left me? And when that moment comes, it's easy to panic, to jump to conclusions, and to give up. Craig Barnes, an author and professor, says, "The deep fear behind every loss is that we have been abandoned by the God who should have saved us." But Mary and Joseph give us another option. Instead of giving up, it's time to go looking. And we look everywhere until we find him. Here's the good news. When we seek Jesus, we will find him. Listen to God's promise repeated throughout history. "But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul." Deuteronomy 4:29. "I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me." Proverbs 8:17. "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Jeremiah 29:13. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near." Isaiah 55:6. God desires our pursuit, not out of need, but because in seeking God, we discover the depth of God's love, the richness of God's presence, and the purposes we are created for. And while Jesus can be found, he's not necessarily where we expect him to be. Jesus is faithful, but not predictable. Mary and Joseph didn't find Jesus where they expected. They found him in the temple and learned something new about him. When you can't find Jesus where you expect him to be, it's an invitation to discover more about God, to enter into a deeper, more personal relationship. Jesus calls God his Father, and like any good parent, God relates to us differently as we grow up. The earlier quote by Craig Barnes about feeling abandoned by God continues by saying, "The transforming moment comes when we discover it was not God, but our image of God that abandoned us." Mary's image of Jesus was too small. She was holding on to the Jesus she knew, the child she had raised, and the miraculous baby whose birth she had treasured in her heart. But now, Jesus was revealing more about himself. He was inviting her to see him more clearly. And it's the same invitation for us. Sometimes the Jesus we hold on to is too small, shaped by our own assumptions, our comfort zones, or our traditions. But when we seek him, he shows us more of who he is. The Messiah who can't be boxed in. The Savior who calls us beyond our limited understanding. It's not that Jesus changed. It's that he's drawing us into a deeper relationship and inviting us into a bigger understanding of who he is. Jesus meets us in new ways as we grow. When we're young, we may need him to fix things, answer basic questions, but as we mature, he reveals himself through deeper experiences, guiding us with wisdom and love. The more we grow in our relationship with him, the more we realize how intimately he knows us and how patiently he leads us. This is what spiritual formation looks like. Just like a loving parent, God meets us in new ways as we grow, guiding us into a richer understanding and experience of who he is. It's surprising, and it's incredible. Do you long to know Jesus better? Then go search for him. Pray, read scripture, sit in silence. Serve the poor, the sick, and the marginalized. Be generous. Care for creation. Gather together. Break bread. And be curious. And as you search for Jesus, the invitation is to learn to let go of the distractions and the idols and the anxieties that might have taken his place. Lean into faith, trusting that even when Jesus feels distant, he's never gone, and he always wants to be found. The fact that you desire Jesus means you are living with an awareness of your deepest desires. You want Jesus. Losing Jesus isn't a sign of failure. It's an invitation to transformation. And as we seek him, we'll discover a deeper, more personal understanding of who he is. And just like a loving parent, Jesus meets us right where we are, growing with us, guiding us, and revealing himself in ways that'll help us trust his love for us and the world, which will land us in the exact same spot that Mary is in at the end of the story. Verse 51, she treasured all these things in her heart. This passage invites us to keep searching for Jesus until we find him, and to treasure what we find. Remember that story I shared about that crippling anxiety I experienced after graduating from Bible college? Well, I moved back home to LA feeling completely lost. I'd spent 4 years preparing for ministry, only to find myself working at Starbucks and, believe it or not, selling dorm room furniture to colleges and universities across the nation. It felt like I had hit a dead end. Then one day, out of the blue, I got a phone call from my old high school youth pastor. He asked if I'd want to be a part of a new church plant in Bend, a church that would be called Antioch. That phone call was an answer to lots of confusion and searching. And while there have been many other seasons of uncertainty, since then, every time I've sought Jesus, I've found him in new and more profound ways. Not always where I've expected him to be, but always in a way that helped me understand more of who God is and who God is calling me to be. As Eugene Peterson said, God's presence is not confined to the spaces we create or expect. It permeates every corner of life, often in ways we fail to see. It's definitive, yet it refuses to be domesticated. It insists on being lived, experienced, and participated in. As we seek Jesus, we will grow in our relationship with God and others. Imagine what it would look like for our entire congregation to live this way. A church that is less hurried and more present, cultivating a culture of peace and attentiveness to God. What if we were serious about pursuing God and made time for spiritual practices because we hunger to follow Jesus? What if we were to focus on love over performance and become a safe space for authenticity and healing, drawing people into a deeper trust in Jesus, becoming a light in the community and a refuge for those in need? Antioch, we are a church that knows Jesus. And if you feel like he's gone missing, the invitation is simple. Let's seek him. You don't have to do this alone. We are a community that seeks Jesus together. And I can't wait to see how Jesus surprises us.